Today we are into the third Sunday of the year 2020. And I'm sure we are still in the New Year mood, or we are still celebrating a New Year. 2019 is history, 2020 is now. And your birthday candle will increase by one more. Last year I was 57, this year I must be 58, okay? And in 2 years' time, I will qualify as a senior citizen. And that means that I can get 50% off for many things. More gray hair and more joint pain and more medicine to take as well. And maybe more doctors to consult too. And that's why the board of management last year increased the medical benefit for all the staff for this year. It is also traditional at the beginning of the year that we reflect on last year and to make new resolution to do better this year. Last year, I took things easy. This year, I purpose to be more serious. Last year, I did not exercise much, and this year, I purpose to go to gym once a week, okay? That's not me, okay? Last year, I did not serve, but this year, I want to be involved in serving. I want to arise and shine. And today, I want to share with you on the theme of the church, and that is go, sow, and make disciples. Three areas in which many of us, or every one of us as member of Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, must be involved in order to play our part to grow the church. We must seriously pray for growth and to play our part to grow the church. Many of you may not know, but last year I attended a Bible study class once every 2 months under Dr. Daniel Ho, together with 10 other senior pastors of different denominations. And they were key pastors of the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the EFC, the Charismatic, and even the Pentecostal, and I was the only Baptist in the group. Dr. Daniel Ho shared in our class last year, our last class, and he was asked by a sister and a group of leaders, how come all our churches are not growing? And he wisely said to them, before I answer your question, let me ask you all a question. And he counted the number of people or leaders there, and there were 12 of them. And so he asked them, all 12 of them, he asked them, how many of you led a soul to Christ this year? And sadly, the response was none. And then he said to them, if none of you, all 12 of you, did not even lead one soul to Christ, how would you expect the church to grow? Now, brothers and sisters, I say this in our church anniversary last year. If each one of us bring one person to church during the year, we will not have place for everyone. Just bring one person to church a year, and I'm not even asking for two or three or even more. Yes, I know the success of the church is not about the three B's, building and budget and baptism. And this is because it is God himself who increases the church. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we should not measure success by how big a church gets or how good the worship service is or how great the children program is or how big our budget seems. But rather, we should measure the success of our church by how well God's word is preached and how much the members are growing in their walk with Jesus Christ and by how much that they are honoring God. In other words, are we doing what we are supposed to be doing according to the scripture, such as reaching the lost soul, making disciples, taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans, and helping the poor? Are we demonstrating the love for one another, and also living a holy and pure lives? Are we doing that? God has a part to play, but don't ever forget that we also have a part to play as well. There was a great, well-known preacher. I'm really getting old, and I still can't remember his name. I've forgotten his name totally. But I remember what he said. And he was once asked for prayer by a member of his church. "Please, pastor, pray for me that I can get up early in the morning to pray." And he responded wisely, "If you get one leg out of your bed, I will ask God to help you with the other leg." Do you get what he's saying? God has his part to play, but don't ever forget that we too, every one of us, we have a part to play to grow the church. And today I want to share with you three things that we can all do as we begin the new year as a church. No theological jargon, no Greek, no Hebrew, no historical journey, no church history, no deep stuff, just three basic areas. Let me begin with the first one. First, we can all go. Let us look at the most familiar New Testament passage, and this is the Great Commission given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, if you have your Bible. Otherwise, you should be able to recite these few verses here. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Do you see the word "go"? Go. Do you need to put on your glasses, or do you need to clean up your glasses? "Therefore, go." And I have a couple of questions to ask. One, why is it so important to go? Because Jesus commanded it. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me, therefore, go.'" And then two, who is to go? Is it Pastor John? Is it Deacon Bruce? Is it Deacon Bochu? The board leaders? Is it the Sunday school leaders? The youth leaders? The connect group leaders? Is it the choir members? What about you? What about you? Look at verse 18 again. "Then Jesus came to them and said." Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the 11 disciples. And this is not limited only to them, but all who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God could have chosen angels to go, but he didn't. Instead, he has chosen men to go, you and I. We just have to look at the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. The Bible tells us that Philip was doing a good job for the Lord in Samaria. And verse 8 tells us that there was great joy in the city, but an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south of the road, the desert road." The desert road. And why did the Lord not send angels? Instead, Philip was doing a good job, and there was a great joy in the city. And verse 27 tells us that Philip started out. He went. A look at the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. Who went to share the love of God to him? Peter. He was praying and reflecting on a vision, and the Lord sent three men to look for him. The Spirit of the Lord said to Peter, "Arise, go downstairs and follow them to see the Master." Do you know where the three men took him? They took him to the place far, far away, 33 miles away. And you must remember that at that time, they had no helicopter, they have no car, they have no motorbikes, they don't even have a bicycle. And Peter had to walk 33 miles. Wasn't easy. He had to walk for many, many hours. And again, why did the Lord not send angels instead? And Peter could have said to these three men here, like, "Jesus, are you crazy to ask me to go so far away?" But thank God, he did not. The Bible said Peter started out and went. Yes, brothers and sisters, indeed, man is God's method of proclaiming the salvation that Christ had accomplished for the world. God could have chosen angels or any other means, yet he had chosen you and I. And then three, where to go? Go where? Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. The word nation can refer to all people, anywhere and everywhere. And there is a hymn that many of us, maybe we know this song, make me a blessing out in the highways and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Go to these people. There's another song, go, tell it on the mountain. We think that this is a children's song, but it is actually a song that every one of us love to sing. Go over the hills and everywhere. Go to these people. There's another song that is often sung in mission conference. I love this song. People need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. And on they go through private pain, living fear to fear, laughter hides their silent cries. Go to these people. Another mission song, people to people. Go to a lonely man, a hungry man, a thirsty man, a dying man, an orphan child, a man who's poor, a man who's down, a bleeding man, a man who needs to see, a man who needs to love, a man who's blind. Go to these people. And these people may be your own family members, by the way. They may be your spouse. They may be your parents. They may be your children. They may be your colleagues. They may be your neighbor, your school friend. Go to these people. Jesus did not command us, therefore, wait and sit and enjoy the comfort of the church. He commanded us to go. And this is the first thing that we can all do as we begin this new year. First, we can all go. And now you may ask, what do we do when we go? Second, we can all sow the seed. Yes, we can all talk about politics. We can even talk about when Amwa is going to be the next prime minister. Or we can go to the mamak store and talk about our children. Why my boy still don't have a girlfriend. He's already 30 years old. Anyone available, just make sure you're Christian, I'm okay. We can also talk about why my children not attending Sunday school. Or we can even talk about football. Can Liverpool win the English Premier League? And the answer is, yes. Not plastic. Okay, Liverpool. And what happened to the poor Manchester United? Well, we can talk about anything and make fun of each other, but for this new year, can we sow the seed? Can we be the sower Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13? In Matthew chapter 13, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowd gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plant was scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, what is the parable of the sower here? The parable of the sower was told to a crowd that had gathered around Jesus. And Jesus tells the story of a sower who scattered seed on four different types of soil. The first type of ground was hard, and the seed could not sprout or grow at all and was snatched up instantly. The second type of ground was stony. The seed was planted and began to grow. However, it could not grow deep root and withered in the sun. And the third type of ground was thorny, and although the seed could not be planted and grew, it could not compete with the amount of thorns that overtook it. And then the fourth type of ground was good soil that allowed the seed to plant deep, grow strong, and produce fruits. And Jesus used this parable to explain to his followers, to the disciples, how there are four different types of responses to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The sower of the parable is Jesus, and the seed is the word of God. Both Jesus' spoken word and today, the Bible. The hard ground, it represents someone with a hardened heart. The stony ground represents someone who shows interest and awareness in the gospel. The thorny ground is someone who received the gospel but had many idols and distractions of life, worried riches and trust which take over his mind and heart and choke the truth of the word of God. And the good soil is someone who have heard and received the word of God and allow it to take root and grow in his life. This person represents true salvation, the best good fruit. I know. You know. The parable of the sower teaches us how important the state of the heart is toward receiving the gospel. But I want you to know that if the sower does not sow the seed, none of them would have responded. If the sower only talks about politics and children and football and none of them would have been able to hear the gospel of salvation, how many would have known of Jesus Christ if someone had not sown the seed? How many would have known of Jesus Christ if we know him and we do not sow the seed? Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or someone sowing the seed? And this is the second thing that we can all do as we begin this new year. Chinese New Year is just around the corner. We're all going back, Balok Kampong. We're going back to our hometown. We're going to have family reunion. Sow the seed. We can all sow the seed. Talk to your family members about Jesus Christ. Talk to them about the Bible. Talk to them about your faith. Talk to them about your church. Talk to them about God's love. Talk to them about God's miracle and answers to your prayer and your life. Talk to them about the gospel. And what is the gospel? Facts one, God loves you. Facts two, God's love is not experienced. Facts three, God's love is demonstrated his love. And facts four, God has given you a choice to accept or to reject the gospel. And sadly today, many Christians do not sow the seed. Did they not sow the seed? They can talk about anything and everything, but not about the gospel of salvation. Brothers and sisters, if a product is good, we want to market the product, right? Then why is it that the gospel of salvation, the seed we have received, and yet we Christian, we are not marketing it. We are not sowing the seed. Would you want to do something about it this year? Would you want to pledge to go and sow the seed to a lonely man, to a hungry man, to a thirsty man, to a dying man, to an orphan child, a man who is poor, a man who is down, a bleeding man, a man who needs to see, a man who needs to love, a man who is blind. Brothers and sisters, as we look back at our lives last year, 2019, just ask ourselves, how many souls have we brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people have we invited to our church? How many people have we been telling others about the Savior? Have we really sown the seed? Or should I ask, when was the last time you sowed the gospel seed? First, we can all go. Second, we can all sow the seed. And third, we can all make disciples. We can all make disciples here. Look at Matthew 28 verse 19 again. Therefore, go and make disciples. Oftentimes, this is left out in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Now listen here. Every Christian, every born again believers is called to go into the world and make disciples. Now I did not say that every Christian, every born again believer is called to be a preacher, called to be a pastor, or called to be a missionary. Not everyone is called to be a Paul. Not everyone is called to be a Peter. Not every one of us is called to be a Billy Graham or a Luis Palau. You may be behind the scene person, or you might be someone whom few people know about, Or you may be someone with limited gifts, but still you are called to go and make disciples. And here's the problem. There are a lot of Christians today, they have never done this. They have never even thought about this, much less make an effort to do it. And today we have many Christians, but very few disciples. And you may ask, Pastor John, what is the difference? I thought that Christians are disciples and disciples are Christians. Yes, if you think like that, you are not totally wrong. The word Christian has a long history. It's used sparingly in Scripture. And the first time it was used in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great number of people. The disciples were called Christian first at Antioch. The word Christian actually meant little Christ. It was not a term, a name Jesus' disciples gave themselves. But rather, it was used to describe the early Christ followers. It was actually used as an insult. Check this out. Check this little Christ out, the accuser would say. And today, the word Christian is someone who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And one who identifies with the Christian religion. It can refer to someone who is attending church, or it can refer to someone who never goes to church. And so if someone were to ask you, are you a Christian? He's not asking whether you are attending church. He's not asking whether you are giving your tithes. He's not asking whether you are leading the worship service. He's asking if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And while Christian is not the most popular term in our culture to describe a person who followed Jesus, the word disciple was the most popular term in the New Testament. The word disciple is used 281 times in the New Testament compared to Christian, which is used just 3 times. So what exactly is a disciple? What is disciple making? And it is a key question. If we want to make disciples, then we need to know what a disciple is. And more importantly, if we want to make disciples, then we need to be a disciple first. So what exactly do we mean when we use the word disciple? The term disciple is an uncommon term in our culture. We don't introduce ourselves as disciple. We don't go around and say, I'm a disciple. We call each other Christian. Christian. But the word disciple had an even longer history than Christian. It was first written down by Greek historian Herodotus nearly 500 years before Jesus walked the earth. It refers to a learner, an apprentice, the master teacher. The master apprentice, the teacher-student paradigm was the one that Jesus called the 12 into. He traveled with his disciples, he ate with them, he lodged with them. So what does it mean when we say we are disciples of Jesus? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In this relatively short verse, we see the three essential elements of a disciple. One, come, follow me. So first, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. In order to follow him, we must put aside our agenda. We must submit to him. And two, and I will make you. Secondly, a disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we submit to him, we are changed by Jesus. Not only our direction, but also in our actions and belief as well. And then three, fishers of men. And third, a disciple is engaged in the mission of Jesus. We are now being transformed to embark on the mission that of Jesus' mission. And we are changed to join Jesus in his mission and not embark on the mission of our own choosing. So if this is the simple definition of the word disciple, my question to you this morning is, are you one? Am I one? We must first be one before we go and make disciples. We must fit within this definition as one who totally followed Jesus, been changed by Jesus, and engaged in his mission? Are you one? Am I one? Can we really say we have given up everything to totally follow Jesus? Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, 25 to 27 to those last crowds who were following him, and Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The word hate is not saying to have malice or ill will toward our family, but it means that devotion to the family must take second place to one's devotion in following Jesus. And today I hate to say this. Many Christians, many young Christians, many young married couples love their newborn babies and child more than Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is today no longer their Lord. Who is their Lord? I tell you who is their Lord. Their baby or their children. Devotion to God, devotion to Jesus, devotion to the studying of the Bible, devotion to serving the church, devotion to attending a CG or BSF are all put aside. I received a WhatsApp from my schoolmate 3 weeks ago. 40 years ago, children were gentle with their parents. Today, parents have to be gentle with their children. 40 years ago, children respected their parents. Today, parents have to respect their children. Am I right? I'm right, because it's happening everywhere. It's happening in every church. I was preaching in a church in Lokyu last year, and a sister told me that it was happening in his church. I preached in a church in Pataling Jaya, and the pastor told me it was happening in his church. And then he turned around and asked me, Pastor John, whether it's happening in Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church. And my answer to him is yes. We have couples who stop coming to the church after the Lord has blessed them with babies. I have a couple who stop coming to the church where the Lord has blessed them with a beautiful baby boy. I have another couple who also drop coming to church after the Lord has blessed them with a beautiful baby girl. My wife and I went to visit this couple, and they told us that they will come back to the church after the baby is 1 year old. No, I asked them why. And they told me that the church got so many people that worried that their baby were gonna germs. I'm serious. This was what this couple told us. 1 whole year missing church to be with the baby for fear that the baby come to the church with gonna germs. Now, I'm not being skeptical. And today I'm very worried whenever I pray for newly married couples whether I should pray that they be fruitful and multiply. Is this happening now, church? I say yes. I do not know what you say, but I say yes, because I deal with the members of the church and I talk with people from all over the country as well. And next, can we really say we have been changed by the Lord? Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Are our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? Are we still conforming to the pattern of this world, to cheat, to lie, to steal, to bribe? Are our minds transformed and renewed? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Paul said, let our minds think about such things. Brothers and sisters, this is a new year. Let us live our lives to the fullest. Let us be a better Christian. Let us have a more godly behavior. Let us show more love and grace. Let us practice hospitality and be generous in our giving. Let us help the needy and the poor. Let us obey Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. These few verses is teaching us to trust Him, to acknowledge Him, to fear Him, and to shun evil. And then next, can we really say we are engaged in the mission of Jesus Christ? And what is God's mission? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see that? We can now come back to our team. What's our team? To go, to sow, and to make disciples of all nations. Referring to all corners of the earth and all peoples of the world, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Brothers and sisters, God's mission for us is to seek out these people, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And this may be your own family members. They may be your own spouse. They may be your children. They may be your parents. They may be your colleagues. They may be your school friends, your neighbor. Let's go to these people. Can that be our new resolution for the new year? To go, to sow, and to make disciples of all nations. But first, let us be a disciples ourselves. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything God has commanded. Brothers and sisters, if we want to see more godly Christian and a better world today, then first, let us be a better Christian ourselves, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful news is, God promises us, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And that's the promise. When we go, sow, and make disciples of our nation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Lord, that you speak to us and teach us to go, to sow, and make disciples of all nations. May you go before us as you have promised. You will be with us until the ends of the world. Father, we claim that promise. Surely you are with us. For this year, that we may go to people, especially our own family members who have yet to come to know Jesus Christ. That we will go and sow the seed, especially this Chinese New Year. So that, Lord, that they may come to hear the gospel of salvation. And that we will make disciples of all nations. And first we be a disciples that follow you totally. That we be transformed, changed. And that we may become fishers of men, embarking on your mission. Not mission of our choosing, but your mission. So, Father, we pray for this year to come. As the world faces disasters and challenges and trouble, one after another, we pray for our own nation, Malaysia. We do not know what's going to happen, but Lord, one thing we know is that we can put our trust in you and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you, and you promise you will make our path smooth. Make our path straight, for that we claim your promise for the year to come. Bless us, we pray. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.